Don't fake it, just bust a move. This joint is gonna get you in the mood.
Hey! Oh my God. This koi pond is a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, man.
I can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun last time. I had Chase DeRusso in. So guess what I did? He's back.
I'm back.
Chase DeRusso in the koi pond, y'all.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. I just want to say that Chase said something to me in the car the other day, and it made me so happy. I go, write that down. And it's celebrate life.
Yeah, man.
Why do you have to wait for an opportunity to celebrate? Man, just celebrate life. You're alive.
Bro, we made it here, man.
We made it here.
Like, we're from the star stuff in the stars, all those ingredients, and we made it to the living part. Let's just try to celebrate this as much as we can. Mm-hmm. There's going to be ups and downs or whatever, but yo, we're here right now.
We're here. Man. Enjoy. We're here. Why are you upset?
And we're here together at the same time, the same timeline.
Yeah, man. That's what's really cool.
We're sharing this planet right now.
We were just like a speck. We were just a little speck floating around the galaxy.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden we became a living creature.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly we met up later on in life.
Yeah.
And now we're here. And guess what we're here with? Kalen.
Yo.
And you know what he's been doing this whole week? You know what he's been doing this whole week?
What you been doing?
Celebrating his birthday, bro.
Yeah. Got myself a brand new car.
How cool is that? It's nice, too.
I like
that. Did you see it? You walked right by it. It's the Honda.
Oh, nice.
Brand new Honda. Does it have that new car smell?
Oh, yeah.
God, I love that smell. Do you know what that smell smells like?
Yeah, embalming fluid, right?
Yes, embalming fluid. What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
That's what they put in dead bodies to keep them.
No.
To keep them. to keep them nice for the funeral.
That's what they put inside cars.
To preserve, yeah.
That's what they put inside cars.
Yeah, that's a fact, right?
I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
Yeah, man.
So if you find one of those pine trees at a car wash, look for the one that says embalming fluid.
No, new car smell
dead
is embalming fluid.
I buy new car smell. It doesn't smell like new car. I'm going to buy embalming fluid. I'm going to a funeral home or something like that. Is that what it's called? Funeral home.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going. I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. I remember my first car.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first car?
I still have my first car.
What is it?
2001 Toyota Celica.
Damn!
Absolute red.
That's gangster.
Yeah, man.
My first car was a Volkswagen Rabbit. I think I told you this story already, right, Kalen?
Maybe. Why don't you tell it again?
When I hit the cop in pursuit.
No, a cop was in pursuit of somebody else?
Yeah. Hit this guy through a stoplight.
From behind? Where were you at when you
T-boned this motherfucker.
You T-boned a cop?
Yeah. This cop wasn't going anywhere for at least a month.
Driver's side? You hit driver's side cop?
I hit driver's side. I just remember the cop looking at me in slow motion like this. Oh, fuck.
Like right before you hit him?
I saw the whole thing.
God.
It was great. You know what I was listening to? I've done this on the pod before, but I'll say the story again for all those people that haven't heard it.
I've never heard it.
All right, so there was a song called Spread My Wings by Troop. Do you remember Troop?
Was it the song that's like, spread my wings and fly away? Oh, no, that's the other song.
That's someone
R.
else.
Kelly. That's R. Kelly. I'm thinking about it.
Oh, yeah, that is
I
R. Kelly.
I Believe I Can Fly. I'm sorry.
That would have been a great song, too.
Yeah.
But this one was called, it went like this. Spread my wings and fly away to a place that I... Do you have it?
Almost. Got to get through
this
fucking ad first.
Oh, my God. Please. You got. I'll reenact the whole car accident.
Mm-hmm.
This was my favorite song. It was by Troop. Right? Oh, this is the music video. Oh, bro. So I'm driving down Maryland Parkway.
What year? What year
is? Dude, this is like 1990,
okay.
Right? And I'm speeding. Man, this is many lovers. I ain't paying attention to shit. I'm going like 55, 60.
What kind of shoes are you wearing?
Oh, man. I think those are the 90 Jordans. Ooh, I'm rocking.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm just speeding, right? And I see this light. And it's stale green. Right? So I'm like, oh, shit. I don't think I'm going to make it, right? I start slamming the gas. Like, because I feel like it's going to turn, you know, yellow, right? I don't want it to catch yellow because it's been green for a while.
Yeah.
Bro. All of a sudden, a cop just goes through the light with his lights on.
So he ran the light.
He ran the light. And I got this song blaring.
You see the way you see the cop's face. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm singing. The pathway to and for the... I don't even know the words anymore. Right here.
Fuck.
Music's still playing in the background.
Music's still playing. Music's still playing. Music playing. Fucking lights. Worst day of my life.
The cop gets out of the car?
Bro, not only did the cop come out of the car, about 15 other patrol cars came. They shut down that whole intersection. They shut it down.
What did the cop say to you?
They go, sit on the grass. That's what he said to me. Go sit on the grass. I started crying.
Were you like, but you ran the light.
I didn't know what to say. I thought it was my fault no matter what because he had his lights on. What are those called?
Yeah.
Sirens? I don't know. I thought it was my fault. I started crying. I was like, I'm screwed. I'm going to prison. And then the chief came. The captain.
Oh, my God.
They had everything.
Thickest mustache in the game.
Bro, honestly.
Right? Like a Steve Harvey shit.
Yes. Everybody came. A dog came. They were sniffing the car. They were trying to find a reason to throw me in jail. They had everybody come. And then finally the chief just came up and walked up to me and he brought the guy. And he goes, this is officer, blah, blah, blah. I'm chief, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, officer would like to say something to you. He goes, I really do apologize. I failed to go through the light. He apologized. He said it's 100% my fault, man, and I am so sorry. Yeah.
So you have to call your insurance.
But can I tell you
what's
this?
Up?
Can
what's
I tell up? You why? Hmm. Let me tell you why. Because initially, I think they were setting me up. They're about to like ream me, right? But these people started pulling over, and I remember this one couple. And of course, you know, there's always that couple where there's one guy, but then there's the boisterous girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was the boisterous girlfriend. You could tell she was in the passenger seat. She's like, baby, pull over. Pull over. That was the cop's fault. And she stood right by me.
What?
Yeah. I remember I was crying, and then all of a sudden, she like an angel just appeared.
She's like, don't say nothing, baby. I got this.
That's exactly what
Whoa.
She said. She was like, I saw everything. I ain't going to let him do this to you, put you on the side like that. The boyfriend wasn't saying anything. He was just like, okay. Yeah, we'll just stand right here. Wait. And we waited, man. They're trying to find a reason to throw the book at me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that, man, thank God she pulled it. And then another couple pulled over, but she was the one that was the loudest. She was like, he didn't even turn his lights on. He just ran through the light. He turned his lights on like in the middle. When he was in the middle of the intersection, she was all over this guy.
Oh, man.
And then the chief finally came over and made him apologize. Isn't that cool? I was driving a Volkswagen Rabbit. Totaled it. Bro, I spun out for at least two or three turns, man.
They pay for a new car?
Yeah. I went to physical therapy. I don't even know why. Nothing was wrong.
just to keep the scent off you so they leave you alone.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a new car from that. But it was his fault, man. It was a stale green. I will admit that. And I was speeding a little bit, not that much. It wasn't my fault, though. It wasn't my fault. I mean, I'll say that to my dying day. Have you ever gotten into an accident?
Yeah. couple.
Yeah, I can see that, man.
But mines are all like self-inflicted. Like, yep. Like I'll be speeding, yep. And I'm like, I'm a curb hitter. I've hit a lot of curbs.
Yep. I believe it. He's the worst.
I'm not the worst.
Caitlin, yeah, he is. I just saw him stick two Jimmy Dean sausage McMuffins into the microwave. It was the most agonizing thing to watch. It looked like he was playing fucking checkers in there.
Well, I had to
He was moving muffins around. He grabbed the sausage. He put it on another paper. And then he moved the other one. I was like, what are you doing? You just stick the whole thing in there.
No, I wanted to distribute
and press
the
power.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I trust Chase with my breakfast at this point.
Are you kidding me?
There's nothing
bro.
Worse than a cold sandwich that's hot on the outside, but then icy in the middle.
Man, that
you go
is
to
true.
Take that bite.
That not is true. Worth. That is true. You're right. Yeah. You're right. But can I just say it was a fumbling display of cooking in the microwave?
There was a line behind
There was a
us.
Lot of chaos. There was two other customers that wanted to just eat a goddamn bagel muffin that they just bought. And here's Chase playing checkers on the inside of this microwave. And then he was spitting because it's funny. He goes, I got this. He kept saying that out loud. I'm like, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? He asked the lady behind the counter. He goes, how many seconds for this sauce for this Jimmy Dean to be perfect? She goes, it's written on the package. He goes, oh, well, I got this.
You got to tell that to the universe sometimes.
And I'm just looking at him, Caitlin, and I'm like, "What? Who are you talking to? Just throw the fucking sandwich in there and press power. Like everyone else." I felt so sorry for the guy behind us. He had the same damn sandwich. And he had a nice smile. Huh? His smile was cute, huh?
Yeah.
He looked at it. He's like, it's fine. It's fine. You know what it's fine means, Kaylin?
Move the hell on.
Go fuck yourself.
He's going to have the same problem we're having. The exact same problem we're having.
No, he's not.
It's a slow cooking microwave. It's just the way it is.
That is true, though. Where did microwaves come from? Where did a microwave come from? Do you know where a microwave came from?
I still don't trust that thing.
I don't believe it.
I don't know what that is. I don't know how it works. Does it just heat up molecules? I have no idea.
What is it doing? What is it doing? What? Why?
Do you know? Can you call
Why are you able to make an entire cheeseburger in less than a minute?
They call it nuking for a reason. We all are set up with that.
Where did it come from? Do we have miniature nuke bombs inside our house?
I think so. Can we call Neil
Tyson?
I am
reading here that microwaves are a form of electromagnetic radiation.
What the fuck do we have that in our house for?
I grew up with a toaster oven primarily using that. We had a microwave, but I was definitely a toaster oven.
Toaster oven, man. That's all I have now. I have a toaster oven. And it keeps it crispy on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You want a chimichanga? Use a toaster oven. Nothing worse than having a chimichanga, you know, that you buy at the store. And then you put it in the microwave, and it's just this wet, floppy thing.
Oh, my God. I do not like a moist sandwich.
Yeah, I don't want moisture on the bottom part.
Oh, my God.
What is that?
Yeah.
I want it crispy. What is it? Electromagnetic? What is it?
Electromagnetic radiation.
Radiation? You know, I used to sit there and watch Act 2 popcorn pop for 4 minutes with my face pressed up against the goddamn screen? Are you kidding me? I thought it was TV. How about a warning to all the kids? Tell them, this is not a TV. It's not for entertainment. Then why did you put a window there?
Right. Have you ever put a marshmallow in there and just watch what happens?
No, I'm going to today.
Oh my God.
That sounds fun.
Pure chaos.
You guys, if you're at work and you're listening right now, please grab a marshmallow and stick it in the microwave. Just for fun. There's going to be a lot of cleanup, but you don't have to do it if you walk away.
That's right.
What else have you stuck in a microwave?
I, for sure, the first job I ever had, I put popcorn in the microwave for too long, and I was that guy. And I took that shit to my grave.
Yeah.
I did not say that I was the popcorn guy.
It stunk up the whole place, right?
It stunk up the whole place for, like, at least a week.
At least a week.
At least a week.
That burning smell of that burnt bag of popcorn will ruin the entire environment for at least a week. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. You ever still try? You ever burn a bag of popcorn? It was your last bag of popcorn. So what do? You try and eat around it. And it's not the same. You try, but it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You ever get a bag of popcorn, but you have a weak ass microwave and it doesn't pop everything? You just got a bag of hot kernels.
Yeah.
I hate that.
And you play popcorn roulette trying to keep going until.
Try to keep going. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
One time I bought some fish from Ralph's. And
this doesn't sound good already.
I think I left it in the fridge too long. It only seemed like a couple days old, but it was already kind of questionably smelling before I stuck it in the microwave for a full cook here at the studio. Man, I cleared this whole place out.
Oh man.
Everyone was dying.
They were pissed.
Yeah.
But you took the blame like a man. You're like, that was me.
Because I had to. Everyone
put a fish.
Yeah.
Kalen's that guy, though.
Yeah.
Kalen's the guy that does it. He don't care.
Yeah.
Kalen will tell, yeah, I did it. I ran over the trash can. Oops.
Man, that's
Kalen.
That's the way to live life, though.
Yeah.
It's like, I did it.
Yeah. I used to like hold it to my grave for a while, and you always felt bad.
It
when
wears
you,
on you. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. It's better to just say it, man. You know what else is also good? Mm-hmm. Let people know how you feel.
For sure. That's why people are like, oh, that old person's mean or whatever. But that's why they're still around sometimes. Yeah. They don't leave that evil.
Yeah,
in them.
You said that
they
before.
Let it out. Yeah, they let it
that
out.
That is true. Because I remember I used to do that. I used to hold grudges in for a long time, man. All my coworkers that I hated, I used to keep it in.
Yeah.
I see them clock in and go, oh, it's going to be a bad day, man. Oh, man. Cynthia's working? Shit. Hate Cynthia. Then I just woke up one day and I was just like, you know what? I don't like Cynthia. I'm going to tell her.
You told her?
By the way, I'm just using Cynthia as a fictitious character.
I feel like you said sympathy so quick that maybe that's a real
name. Maybe it is a real name. But it got to the point where it's like anyone that was annoying at work, I let them know right away. It's like, you're kind of annoying. Why are you like that?
Like you already know the origin.
Yeah, why are you like that? Why are you always grumpy?
Oh, that's a good thing to ask somebody.
Yeah, I would say it. I would be like, you're grumpy. Like I don't like hanging out with you. Your vibe is wrong. I'll let them know.
But do you word it a certain way? Are you like, hey, man, are you okay? Why are you so grumpy all the time?
I kind of I do that.
So you say it like, are you okay? Why are you so drunk?
I'll do that.
Okay, you gotta give that buffer.
You gotta do it.
Yeah, you gotta, yeah.
I indirectly slap you in the face with it. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to sit there and just walk around you all day and let you be like, you know how people with bad energy always take control of the room?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they walk a certain way and you're like, oh, watch out. Here comes grumpy bitch.
Yeah. And they want to bring you into their world. Like,
yeah.
Man, doesn't life just suck, man? Doesn't it suck?
No. I just had a Jimmy Dean sausage made to perfection thanks to old checkerboard guy over here. Have you ever had a sausage McMuffin made out of in a gas station microwave to perfection? My boy Chase knows how to do it. Sorry, I didn't mean to drink that. There's people listening right now just going, are they eating?
I love that you're drinking in HD because you hear everything. You hear every
you
drop.
You hear everything. You hear everything. Is Jeff here?
He is. He just walked in.
What? Let's bring him in.
All right. I'll go get him.
Jeff Cesario.
I'm excited.
You know what I love about Jeff?
What's up?
He's been the same guy since, like, you know, when he first started. And I didn't even know him when he first started. I was just a fan. Watched him on cable. You know what I mean? Like, all we had was, like, the Tonight Show and cable. That's what they called it, cable, back then.
Yeah.
And then he would always... Here he comes. Look at Jeff.
Cable Ace Awards.
Yeah. Cable Ace Awards, Jeff. That was a big thing.
That was a big thing.
I'm not even joking, Jeff.
No, that's a big thing.
People don't know because we're old now, Jeff.
We're 100.
We're 100 together.
Might as well be 100.
We might as well.
Enjoy it. Enjoy being 100.
But, Jeff.
Chase is coming for you.
Chase is coming
right
quick.
Around the corner. I'm creeping.
Jeff.
Creeping my dreams.
Jeff. First of all, Jeff Cesario, everybody. Look
What's
him up.
What's up?
If you don't. Unbelievable.
What's up, America?
Welcome to the Koi Pond, Jeff.
Thank you.
You know what I love about
Pleasure
Jeff?
To be here.
This is what I love about you, Jeff. You're the reason why I do stand-up, bro.
That is quite an honor.
When I was a
that.
Kid, I would watch you. There was like, oh, man, there were so many. Dennis Wolfberg.
Yeah.
Did you ever work with Dennis?
Big bug eyes? Yeah, I did.
Oh, do you have any stories? Was he like?
He's just a great guy.
He was
just a pro. He just busted his ass.
Yeah.
Did his thing. Went up there. Wolfberg was one of those guys back then, which was kind of rare, who like never did anything, never tried to bang a waitress or do blow at the club owner or any of that crap.
Yeah.
You know, which was like.
He's no Jeff Cesario.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was just a party animal. Look at me. I used to be 6'2".
Yeah. That's still, you know, I just want you to know when I'm on the road, that's still a saying out there. It's like, yo, you're getting Cesario'd right now, man. That's crazy. Your legend
you
lives.
Rejected by a waitress. That's what that means. That means you're walking back to the motel. That's what that means. You're getting Cesario'd.
Dang, look at him. He's being Cesario'd.
That means you're getting mocked by the other acts because you're actually writing during the day.
Yes, that's what you're doing.
What's he doing? Writing? What's that? Sounds stiff.
What's writing? What's a pencil? What do pencils do?
Just put your underwear on over your head. Come on, man.
Dad.
Listen up.
This is my son. Dad. Dad. What's cursive?
Oh, that's great.
What's cursive? Do you know they're not teaching cursive anymore? Did you know that, Caleb?
I did not know that.
I did know that. They're dumbing everybody down.
They are dumbing all the... Jeff, you know that your kid... How old's your kid? Your kid's a baby.
Nine. She's nine, yeah.
Did you not notice they're not teaching him cursive?
Well, she's in a different situation, but yeah, I did notice that actually.
But listen, I remember as a kid, they had the dotted, you remember the dotted cursive letters?
Yeah.
And you had to trace the dotted.
Right.
Not anymore. Everything's an iPad. They don't even want these kids to write.
No, they don't.
I bought my son, they have this list, Jeff.
By the same token. Not a big future in calligraphy.
That's true. That is true. I don't know why I bought him a feather pen. I don't even know why.
Giant feather. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
He never uses it.
He's got an inkwell.
Yeah. Once he used it.
Once. Probably just to throw ink on somebody.
Once he used his inkwell and his feather pen to write on a post-it what he wanted from the grocery store.
Wow.
And guess what he said? Guess what he said to me?
What?
He goes, how do you spell Reese's?
Reese's.
How do you spell Reese's, Dad? And you know what I said? I don't know.
Yeah.
That I spell recess.
One. Recess. Recess. Yeah. Oh, brother.
You know the sad thing about them not doing cursive, though? And I read this in Scientific American magazine. Whenever you write in cursive, it's the only time the left side of your brain and the right side of your brain are working together when you write.
The only time in life?
I think so. Like, when you write in print, it doesn't do it as much. But when you write in cursive, for some reason, it's the creative side and the logical side.
Wow.
You get a better flow. From what I hear, you get a better flow.
Wow, that's pretty deep.
Yeah, you would think that calligraphers would be the hippest people on earth. I'm mind melding my mind.
Yes.
What are you doing, Mr. Typer?
Yeah, Typer.
Typer.
Look at this letter S. That's
check it out.
Look at that.
Took me a month.
That's a Monet right there. Took me 3 months to do this
letter
S.
Well, they're trying to spell shit, but still.
Yeah, it says shithead, but look at the S on that shithead.
Beautiful it is.
It's
gorgeous.
Classy. Crispy. It's crispy.
Two inkwells for that letter S.
And a little gold flake. It's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Shithead.
I just need to burn the edges of this paper real quick, and it'll be perfect. This will be art.
Real quick, meaning 3 weeks.
Yeah. God. Life was so laid back
then.
Oh, man.
Remember
we didn't even live it, though. But, I mean, imagine.
Yeah, Buddhist monks were, like, out on the edge. They were living so fast.
Dude, they were counting stars. Do you know how boring your life has to be?
Yeah, now, that's not mind melding. That's still just one half of your brain.
Counting stars? your left and right have to work at the same time. For those guys to count stars?
Yeah.
Because you have to contemplate how feeble your own existence is while you're doing math.
Yes.
That's impressive.
How impressive is that?
That's beyond me. They say you only use 8% of your brain.
And I believe that.
I would like to get that down to 4 as soon as possible. I really am. I'm working too hard. There's too much crap I know. I don't need to know.
Kaylin, do you have any like some Asian music, like some Chinese, like Zen music? Can you find some? Imagine just one of these
counting stars,
and also philosophizing.
And these are, if I may, I don't know what the correct term is anymore, but they are the ancestors of your people.
Yes. Yes.
Your community.
My community.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple, you know.
Also responsible.
Yeah.
In large part for World War II. So that's both half the brains.
Both half the brain.
There.
Yes.
Took a while. Took several centuries, but they got
finally
both halves working.
Coming together.
Yeah.
Counting stars and philosophizing life. 1,000. 2,000. 3,000. When you breathe air, is it really there? I don't know. Life, like a bull, may cause fire in the heart. 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. Shit, let me start over. 1.
Wake up.
Oh. How good was that?
That was great.
That was good. I got taken to that world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys were amazing, man.
Yeah, how did they? That is amazing. When you look back at that stuff from, and they had like the universe charted out?
Already charted out.
How? Sail a ship by the stars. I love that. We're going to just sail by the stars. We're going to use our sextant.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know how that. I don't
bro,
even. I look at that thing in like an antique store, and I go, you know, I don't know what the hell that is, but it's going to be a cool looking paperweight because I don't know how it works. They founded the Earth using this thing,
Jeff. How do they? Look at that thing.
Look at that.
What the fuck is that?
They figured out what that is.
That is an alien tool, bro.
And velvet ropes at the movie theater flummox us.
Yes. Can you believe that?
Look at that. They knew.
That's how they cattle people to get popcorn. Velvet ropes. And this guy.
What is that called?
This thing.
That's a sextant.
A sextant.
That's how they traveled by ship.
That's actually a sextant, I believe, with a cigarette lighter at the top.
Yeah, that's definitely a cigarette lighter.
That's pretty nice. That's a really nice.
You know what?
That's a nice add-on.
Jeff,
there.
I want everyone that's at work right now to type in sextant. I don't even know how to spell that. But when you see the picture, you know what that is now today? A bong.
Yeah, that's a bong.
That's definitely a bong now.
Yeah.
Maybe they shouldn't Google it at work.
Yeah, don't Google it.
No, Google it at work.
Google sextant at work.
Well, and spell it T-A-N-T, because if you spell it sextant, you're going to be waiting for page 147
before this thing pops up. Take you to Coachella.
Right, exactly.
It looks like a telescope on a slice of pizza.
Yes, it does.
A paper
with
clip.
Missiles shooting out the back.
Yeah, and there's thumb holders. They had it together,
bro. I'm telling you.
And that top thing is a lighter. That was like we had 42 longitude and 52 click latitude.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing back then,
bro. But how? That's why when they said that they were taking a trip to go to China. Like, that was a journey, bro.
But how did they know it was there?
I don't know.
They knew, though. They could even tell the size of a star just by looking at it.
Isn't that crazy?
And then they mapped them all out in, like, little drawings. Like, that's a bear.
And that's a ladle.
And what's crazy is they all came up with the same conclusions about those drawings.
Yes.
Yeah.
So many religions have a lot of similarities because they were looking at the stars and being like, this is that story. This is that story. How do we all have the same story?
I don't know. And you go from like a God's belt, Orion's belt.
Yeah.
And then there's a ladle. That seems a bit of a come down.
How is there a ladle there?
It's like the Big Dipper.
Yeah.
And the Little Dipper. Because they just looked at it and went, man, we can't come up with anything majestic for that. That's just a freaking spoon.
Jeff, can I say something?
Yes.
How about when they don't draw lines where the Big Dipper is? You know how they draw the lines to show you the Big Dipper? Yeah. When they don't draw the lines, you know what I say? What? Looks like a cluster of fucking stars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't see a Dipper anywhere.
No, no. I
see a lot of dots.
Whip up my galaxy ways and see how I can scoot through those.
Yes.
What's the fastest way through the Dipper? Got to get from the Dip. That's what it's going to be like in 25 years. If Elon Musk has his way, we're just going to be up there with our iPhones just going, all right, I got to get to the south point of the Little Dipper.
Yeah.
And it looks like the west way is blocked.
Blocked.
Yeah, so I'm going to go down the bottom of the Dipper.
Yeah, bottom of the Dipper.
It's looking good. Through Orion's belt, over bear's chest.
The Gemini, the twins nutsack is holding up traffic right now.
the traffic report in the galaxy.
Yeah, just those two dudes standing there with their dicks out. It's a lot of traffic here in Orion's belt.
Twins nutsack is all backed up.
Yeah, Twins nutsack is backing up traffic here.
I would have kept doing that, but my chest hurts at this age. Or else we would have had a really good bid.
It was going, though. Jeff, let me tell you this.
Yes, sir.
Because this all started with Dennis Wolfberg.
Oh, that's right. Good Lord.
But I hate to ask you a question like that, but, you know, as a fan of stand-up comedy, you know, you, Dennis, God, I can keep going on. There's so many that
Ronnie
I love.
Ronnie Shakes, you remember Ronnie Shakes?
I don't remember Ronnie Shakes.
There was Dennis Wolfberg, Ronnie Shakes out of New York, certainly Dom Irrera.
Remember Bob Nelson?
Oh, yeah. Bob Nelson did some hilarious sports stuff before people were really doing hilarious sports
stuff. Yeah, man. You remember what he did with the balloons and all that?
Yeah, yeah.
God, it was so funny, man.
A lot of crazy guys.
But you got to work with those cats, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I started late, so they were probably anywhere from 5 to 10 years ahead of me, but they were my age because I started late. So it was a really interesting juxtaposition there. But boy, all those guys were great. I mean, and I started up in Minneapolis with Louis Anderson and Joel Hodgson, who did Mystery Science Theater 3000, and Liz Winstead, who invented The Daily Show, and Joel Madison and Sid Youngers, who wound up writing on Roseanne and then created their own shows, and just a lot of talent. Boy, there was a lot of talent out of Minneapolis. Probably the funniest guy was a guy named Wild Bill Bauer, who didn't even make it out here. So these regional scenes, there's so much great talent, and there's so much great talent. We were just talking about this the other night, because you're out of Houston, right?
Yeah, I'm from Houston, yeah.
When I was coming into it, let's see, Ron Schock was out of Houston, certainly Kinison, Carl LeBeau.
Yeah, CD.
Bill Hicks was just starting to come up when I was getting into it. So these scenes had, and Denver had Roseanne. They had Louis Johnson Jr. They had some great comics in each one of these regional scenes, and all of them a little different. So if you were starting out on the road like I was, because I worked in Minneapolis till I got to the place where I could headline B/A rooms. So that's when I moved out to Los Angeles and said, all right, I'm just going to spend 7 months out of the year on the road making dough, you know, and then I'll afford to live in LA for 5 months and wonder why I'm not getting any parts. So that was kind of the existence, and it was romantic at the time. But you'd go to these regions, like I remember going to Denver, and they would put up John Paul, and they would put up Roseanne, and they would put up Lewis, and they would put up Matt. God, they had so many great guys there. Matt Berry. Yeah. They would put up Vince Curran. They would put up Steve Mudflat McGrew. They would put up these crushing comics. They would each do 10 in front of the headliner. And it was their way of saying, all right, you got balls? Let's see them.
Wow.
So they do an hour 10 in front of you. Crushing, like their best 10.
Yeah.
7 killer comics who are all still doing comedy, still headlining, still crushing it. And you're going on and you go, all right, it's like fucking Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, all right, I just got to go to the body heavy for about 30 minutes and then come up and get the head.
Yeah.
And if you could do that, then they backed off the whole rest of the week. Then it was like, all right, just 2 or 3 of us are going to go on in front of you.
Really?
Oh, man, it was so great because they respected you. They could see you had the chops to do it. And
that's what, mind you, this is a different world back then because that's when the comedy club scene was big.
Yeah, that's when the club itself sold the seats. The notion of going to a place to enjoy comedy was so hot.
I don't think Chase understands back then. There was more comedy clubs than there were comics. So, like, there was more. No, seriously. There was an abundance, and there was a lot of comics in these regions, though. Like,
yeah, yeah.
They were big, man, and they were working, bro. You could make a ton of money just being a feature back then.
Wow. Yeah.
Because you would just – that's why they were saying road dogs. They would just stay on the road.
And it was so hot. There's usually one or two guys in each market who had the desire for whatever reason to become like bookers and state comics, or there were just bookers who knew how to do it regionally. Mm-hmm. So they'd get all these lame-ass one-nighters. But back then, a lot of them were like good because they just go into like the VFW in Virginia, Minnesota, which is up in the Iron Range. And they'd go, you know, and you'd go and you go, this is going to be ridiculous. And there's 300 people hanging from the freaking rafters going, it's a comic. He's going to open his mouth. This is going to be great. And no, you know, there was cable was just starting. Yeah. So people had nothing to compare it to except the comics on The Tonight Show. So if you came and you opened your mouth and you had any rhythm, you had any moxie, you had any ability to tell a joke, people just fell down. They just loved you. So you'd work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in these shitbag gigs that were great gigs. Then you'd come into town and do Friday, Saturday, Sunday and make money. And they would pepper the gigs. The local community would pepper these gigs. And in Denver, it was all the ski communities. In Houston, I don't know what they did, but I know there was money down there.
Yeah.
So, you know, that you could make a living as a stand-up before you decided, if you decided you wanted to come west or go to New York, one of the two, that was really it. So,
damn.
So yeah, so I came up in that, and I was just like a geek off the turnip truck from Wisconsin. I mean, the reason I went to Minneapolis is because Chicago was too big for me. Yeah. So I went to Minneapolis, and I got it together, and then I went to L.A., and I spent a couple years working, and I got Letterman inside of about a year of moving out here. And I found the New York comics a little more my style. Out here, I just felt alone. And I think people kind of interpreted that as maybe arrogance because I was so bashful. I kind of just stayed to myself in a corner of a club. And, you know, dudes in a club, they'll go, who's that fun guy think he is?
Yeah.
You know, you go, no, he's got his nose in the corner.
Yeah, man, he's getting Cesario. Leave him alone.
Yeah, right. Literally, you know, who's he think he is? So in New York, they saw that. And literally, Louis Ferranda, who wound up booking Caroline's, was a bartender at Catch a Rising Star in New York at the time, the first time I went to New York.
Man.
And he saw me in a corner, and he knew. He just – I was alone in the fucking place. And he just went, you want a beer? And I went, yeah, I'd really like a beer. I'm kind of scared. Never
Wait, how
this
old were you
before.
At this time?
I was probably 31.
Wow.
31,
really?
32. Yeah, so I'm telling you, I have no guile. You look at me, I look very Italian. People just figure I'm from New York, and you talk to me for 3 minutes, and you go, oh, this guy wouldn't last on the streets in New York for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
They'd have his wallet. They'd have his pants. So I don't, you know, I'm from Wisconsin. I don't
Wait,
have
they're
that
they're going to take
guile.
Your pants, too?
Yeah, they would take everything.
You're that guy?
Yeah, they would just take everything. And they I'd would just be walking down the street going, it's okay, it's not that cold out. That would be me. Just the Wisconsin in me comes out.
If a guy mugged you, he would be like, hey, give me your wallet.
Yeah, but then he'd probably
feel bad.
Hold on,
let me mug you. Give me your wallet.
Yeah, sure.
You know what? Give me those pants, too.
Yeah, that's okay. Listen, the back flap kind of sticks a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And the front belt buckle's ripped. Okay. You got to go through the second belt buckle,
gotcha.
Okay?
Thank you so much, man. Can I have
and
those socks,
take the belt, too? Well, could I keep one of them? Because I got
to
hop through this water.
All right, give me one.
All right, you got the one. I'll give you the good one.
Hey, you know
There's
what?
There's a hole in this one. You don't want this one.
Hey, you know what?
What?
You just got Cesario.
Exactly.
That should be your show.
You got Cesario.
Yeah, you just got Cesario. Hi, I'm Jeff Cesario.
And that's how mugging would go with me. It'd be like, hey, you know, I noticed on your way out, I know you're trying to get out of here because the cops are coming, but I heard that you had a little tickle in your throat. I got some cough drops, dude. They're in my shirt pocket. That's why they're not in the pants.
You want to just take the whole shirt?
Yeah, no. I need the shirt, but here you go. Here's, like, what do you need, about seven? You need seven halls.
Yeah.
I got the halls meant to lip to see. They go right to the back. That thing that tickles in the back of your throat. Be gone in about 3 days. You'll thank me. All right, I'll see you.
You know who buys halls? You know who buys halls? Filipino moms.
Filipino. Oh yeah, right. Filipino and cut men in the corner of boxing matches.
Yeah, cut men.
They're always sucking on something.
No one buys
see
this?
They always got something going around their mouth.
Yeah.
They're always working something in their mouth. Yeah. Cut men in the corner of a boxing match and Filipino moms.
Filipino moms enjoy Halls. They think that's regular candy.
Oh, that's great.
You know the free candy that you get at restaurants? The white candy with the red stripes on the side?
Sure, the mints.
My mom would... If she owned a restaurant, she would have a basket of Halls in the front. She thinks those are candies.
That's great.
Honey, the honey one. Oh, the honey, Joseph. It's good, and also coat your throat.
Coat your throat.
Coat your throat.
Coat your throat.
Sure.
Coat your throat. Coat your throat. That beats. Well, are there homemade remedies in the Filipino community?
Yeah.
Because I know there are in
yeah,
the
it's called ginger
community.
Root.
Ginger root. Oh, yep. Man.
My mom will boil a whole thing of ginger and make me drink it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's cures rough. Everything.
She will boil ginger until that water becomes like a light brown color, and then she'll put some honey in the cup and drink it.
Wow.
Yep.
Takes care of everything.
Yep. And then my asshole will start bleeding.
Yeah.
And then she goes, that's the sickness coming out.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is not the sickness, Mom. This is you forcing a whole ginger root down my mouth.
Well, look, they had to survive a lot of crap.
Yeah, they did.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Guess what I'm buying you for Christmas? A sex tent.
Oh, gotta have it. Gotta have it.
Yeah.
Gotta navigate my way to my to the impound lot. That's where I'll have to go. I love that name. Impound lot.
Impound.
It can't just be the police parking lot.
You know, when I first moved out here to LA, I couldn't read the
Where'd you move from?
I moved here from Vegas.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I first moved here, I couldn't really read the street signs because the way they write those street signs for you, it's to help you get your car impounded. It's so damn confusing. Have you ever parked on Hollywood where it says cannot park here, Sunday,
through Tuesday.
Blah, blah, blah.
It
Sunday
is
through
more
Tuesday.
10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Yes.
It's a little bit like a novel because you have to finish the two or three placards on this light post.
Yes.
Walk a half a block.
And there's another set
there's
of three.
There's a chapter three
chapter
down there.
Chapter three.
That you got to.
Yeah. Oh, look. There it is right there.
Yeah.
Is that Hollywood? Look at that.
Yeah.
Imagine living in Vegas and then coming to Hollywood and pulling up to that.
It's a world. It's another language. It's intimidating. Yeah. You just sweat.
You sweat.
Yeah.
And then you leave your car, but it's like you're nervous.
Yeah.
It's like leaving your kid at school for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, is someone going to steal my car? Because that's how you feel. Is someone going to take it? Because you look at that. How can you read that?
You can actually exceed the time limit on your parking meter just trying to finish reading those signs.
Exactly.
You'll get a ticket just standing there.
Yeah, the hour that you paid for goes that quickly
you
when
better
you better
read fast.
Yeah, you better read. You better be a fast reader.
Wow. That is brutal.
Yeah. And I got towed so many times when I used to play the Laugh Factory because I had no idea where you could park.
Yeah, that is – I found one successful place and said, all right, I'm going to request time slots only in this hour and a half so that I know I can park there like right in front of at the meters right in front of the car
factory.
Wash.
Oh, the car wash. I know exactly where you're at.
Right.
Yep.
There's about 3 hours there, like 9 to 12.
Yep.
So I would always get a meter. I would always try to get a spot at like 8:30 or 9 or 9:30.
Yes.
I would beg off. I didn't care if other comics call me a pussy for not working the late spots. I just said, I know I'm not getting towed if I park here.
Oh, I got towed so many damn times. I got a Robin Williams story for you. Ready?
Yeah.
He parked in the front of the Laugh Factory. He was doing guest spots for the Oscars. He was working on just doing some material for the Oscars. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He was going to do he was going to present, and he wanted to do like a bit real quick. And
That shows you some work ethic. People think he's just a crazy dude. You know, stream of consciousness. All of those guys.
Oh.
What do I got? A minute and a half on the Oscars. All right. Here's a month.
Yeah.
at the Improv and the Laugh Factory and the Comedy Store.
It was one of the greatest moments of my life, man, because I think Chris Rock was first time hosting.
Oh, right.
So it was the same time. So they were both coming in. Oh, so imagine being a first time guy at the Laugh Factory, and then you just see these two icons walk in trying to work out. And then my favorite, though, Chris would always come in. He would do all three. You know what I mean? Just working on the
stuff,
the monologue. Yeah. And then here came Robin. And here I am sitting upstairs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was sitting with Sully McCullough. And we're talking. And then all of a sudden, you see Robin just come up. And say, oh, hi. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, do you mind if I go up? Like, he's talking to us like this. Like,
yeah, I know.
I'm like,
he's pretty self-effacing guy.
I'm like, are you really? That's the first thing I said. I go, Robin, are you really asking us if you can go up? He goes, well, I don't know.
Well, you know, those like guys had such a respect. The good guys had such a respect for the art that they figured they've been there.
Yeah.
You know, when Robin first started in San Francisco, he was just pounding. I mean, and there were guys who hated him and guys who didn't put him on. And, and you know, all the same shit we go through. And so the guys who kept their heads really understood that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it was so cool, man. And then he hugged us both. It was cool to see both of us fan out at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We tried to be cool, but then we were like, man, fuck this, dude. Yeah. Please, can I hug you? And he was so nice, man. He went up and crushed.
Oh, that's so great.
Crushed. I always say this story, too, because you don't know. There's so many levels of fame. Mm-hmm. There's fame, there's famous, and there's really famous.
Yeah.
Chris Rock was working on that monologue, and he got up on stage, you know, because you know how they do it at the Laugh Factory. It's like, we got a special guest, they don't tell you, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's just working on some stuff real quick, Chris Rock, you know what I mean? And people are like, what? And they go crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were both on the same show at the same time. Chris gets the first one, right? Chris goes up first. Crowd goes crazy, right? Oh my God, Chris Rock. Gets off stage. And then I forgot who went up before him, after him. And then we waited. And then I think Frazier is the one, you know, Frazier Smith.
Sure.
Frazier is the one that's going to introduce Robin. And he goes, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to believe this, but you guys are in for a treat. Another special guest just walked in and he wants to do some time, if you don't mind. Robin Williams. And you see the level of fame, man.
Yeah.
You see the level of fame, bro.
It's visceral. It comes from somewhere deep in your tummy. Bro, you don't even know it.
It was the craziest. It was the craziest thing I've ever witnessed, man. Because there was Chris Rock,
right?
Fame,
right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is Oscar, first time doing Oscars. Like, you know what I mean? He was Hollywood's biggest thing at that. You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and Aaron was going crazy. I was going crazy. And then Robin, and bro, there was a lady that ran to the stage with her phone. It was the craziest thing. She ran. She did not give two fucks, man. Everyone stood. It was a standing O. They wouldn't stop clapping. The lady had her phone, and she put it right in front of his face. She just fucking lost it. You know what I mean? Like, she didn't give a fuck that there's a show going on. It's like, holy shit, that's Robin Williams.
Yeah,
she put her phone in front of him. So then Robin pulled his phone out. He's like, I got a phone too, bitch. And then he started taking pictures of her. It was so surreal. I couldn't believe what was happening, man.
It's so much fun to see nights like that. I remember when I first got to the Comedy Store, Pryor had just finished his first special, which may still be the greatest stand-up special of all time, Live and in Concert. And he was working on material for Live on the Sunset Strip. And I was like, had just gotten paid regular or something, so I could stand way in the back of the Comedy Store. And he was going up in the original room, not the main room, the small room. And they announced him, and you know, I can't remember, I think it was Robert Aguayo. And he goes, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Richard Pryor. And he comes up, and they announce his name and the crowd stands. They don't even see him yet. He walks up, standing O, gets on stage, doesn't get a laugh for 20, fucking minutes because he's working on new material.
Yeah.
And he was one of those guys like him and Louis Anderson. And there's like a handful of guys who write on stage, write their act on stage. And Richard Pryor was one of those guys. I mean, he would write off stage. He would work with Paul Mooney. They would craft material. But he would feel it out on stage. Mm-hmm. He did the whole thing on stage. And so he's working his set and not a peep.
Yeah.
And 20 minutes in, he just goes, I know you guys are, I know you motherfuckers want to see the drunk guy. And they go, woo!
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I can't give it to you. I got a special in 3 months. That's a shitload short amount of time.
Really?
So I'm working on it. I'm working on the new stuff. And he just dove right back into the new stuff. And I'm a kid. I'm nutting it up back there going, holy crap.
Yeah, you get to see
I'm
this.
I'm nervous about 1 8-second new joke.
Yeah.
And this guy's doing this. That takes some stuff.
We were just talking about that, Chase. When you get to that level where it's just like you bomb, but it's okay. It's like you get to that level where you're just like, yo, I'm working on shit, and I'm working on my craft. I'm bombing, and this is what I do.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, it's got to, even now for me, it's got to be an environment where I don't feel like I'm disappointing a crowd still.
Yeah.
You know, and I think some level of fame can buy you a little bit of that, but you still got it. You still got to, you know, guys like us still got to, you still got to deliver to a crowd. You can carve out 2 minutes, maybe even 5 minutes in the center of your set where you can try some stuff. And if you've got bailouts that you know your own muscles well enough, you can do that. But
yeah,
but it's still, that's the one thing that I still get a little nervous. I'm not nervous. I was nervous for the first time in a long time, just a couple of weeks ago. Mm. I was out on the road with Brian Regan and we were doing the Ryman Auditorium. And I'd never done the Ryman, which is Nashville, which is like the
Mecca. Oh, yeah, Ryman, that's right, yeah.
The Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
And venues get me like that.
Mm.
Like, I remember I did the Fillmore West, and I was doing a half-hour HBO special there. And it didn't hit me till I got in the dressing room at the Fillmore West. And I look up, and there's Hendrix on the stage of the Fillmore West, a giant poster. And then I turn around, and there's Robert Plant on the stage of the Fillmore West, a giant poster. And I went, shit, this is sacred ground. I got to bring... And, you know, I used to be a musician, so I got to bring my fucking A game, man.
And you did, man. And that special was great.
Thank you so much. But that's why. I mean, I was literally in the dressing room going, okay, breathe, relax, because this is a whole other thing. You're not even performing for them.
Yeah.
You're performing for the gods.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt at the Ryman. I was only doing like 10, 15 minutes, and I just went, baby, you better bring it.
Yeah.
Do you know how much talent has walked on this stage?
Yeah.
So just bring So I get a little nervous at venues sometimes. That's about it.
You know what I loved about your half-hour special?
What?
your horrible suit.
Mm. Oh, that was my HBO special, I wore a plaid shirt.
Oh, the plaid shirt, which is the one where you wore the big jacket?
Oh, probably... Denver, maybe? That was one of my two Showtime specials?
Yeah,
one
man.
Of the two Showtime specials I think I wore.
It's funny to see that era, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic.
I see my outfits from back then, and I'm like, fuck, we really wore those colors.
I just, I was just going through some, oh my God,
that color, you know what I'm talking about.
Sure, and then the brushed silk shirts.
Yeah, oh, I had that too, man.
Yeah, you got 3-4 of them.
Yeah, man.
Am I going with the teal tonight?
Yeah,
or am I going
olive?
With the lavender? You know, it's just like
teal mustard.
I still love those shirts because they're so comfortable.
Oh, man. They're pajamas
mustard.
Now.
They're smoking jackets. That's where you go on the back patio.
Yes.
Fire up the sextant.
Yes.
And have a couple of hits.
Go ahead.
I was asking, we talked about this last time for a second when I was talking to you, but what is it about wearing crispy shoes and doing comedy on stage?
I got I have to, man.
You got me into that.
Yeah, I have to. I think that is our tool. I cannot go. I think you. I. This is me. I think people judge a man by his shoes. I think that's the one thing. It's shoes and watches. You know what I mean? The
that's
T-shirt. I don't give a shit. The pant. I think the first thing a woman looks at is the man's shoe. If it's crumpled up and crinkled in the middle, and it's starting to curl upward, she knows this guy ain't
starting
shit.
Starting to turn into an elf shoe.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
elf shoes do
it
not
used
score.
To be a penny loafer. Now you're an Arabian prince.
Yeah. Right.
It's just not a good look.
Right. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And I think stand-ups, we were talking. I was talking to Chase. Are comfortable. in new shoes more so than anybody else, because other people try on a new shoe at the shoe store, then take it home, and they got to go to work, and they got to drive it, they got to do this, that, the other thing. And then they go, oh, man, they're a little uncomfortable. I got to break them in.
Yeah.
But a stand-up tries them on at the shoe place.
Yeah.
And walks 2 feet and goes, perfect. And then just takes them to the gig.
Yeah.
And that's what you do at the gig.
That's what we do
at the gig.
You
put them on, you walk 2 feet, you go, perfect.
Yep. So, that's exactly what we do.
What you do in the shoe store is exactly what you do on stage.
Yeah, man.
So if they're comfortable in the shoe store, they're comfortable on stage.
They're comfortable on stage, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not running a mile in these.
No.
No. I'm going from stool to stand.
No, exactly. I get the kid who picked me up at the airport. He's going to run a mile.
Yeah, he's going to run a mile.
Go get that beef jerky everybody's crowing about in this little town.
Yeah.
You know, because it's always something like that.
Yeah.
You got the best beef jerky in the tri-state area. All right.
All right, let me try some. Yeah,
you got to go down. No, no, no. You got to go down to the frontage road and take a left and pick it up. Not me.
I'll get it for you, Mrs. Cesario.
Thank you. I'll try it.
Hey, you should try our barbecue sauce out here. We're known for our barbecue sauce, man. It's about 2 miles from here. Are you going to go get it?
Yeah, go get it, kid.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'll go get it.
Then you go, oh, this isn't bad. And then all you got to do on stage is everybody, you guys have all had Mort's barbecue.
Yeah.
Mort's!
Yeah, man. And it crushes. First 10 minutes on Mort's barbecue sauce. Right.
Then you're in. Then you can do your new material.
Yeah, man.
Because they're following you.
Oh, they love you at that point.
This guy knew about Mort.
Holy shit, it's like he's been living here.
He knows about Mort.
It's crazy. He even knows that it sticks. It's sticky.
Yeah, sticky.
It's so sticky.
How did he know that?
How did he know, man?
He's us, man.
Yeah, he's one of us.
He's us. What's his sexton?
Yeah. What's his sexton, man?
Look that one up. That threw me.
Yeah, man. I have no idea what that is, man.
Made it funny, though.
Yeah. Bro, I just got Cesario'd. Jeff, you're the best, bro.
Oh, man. I could do this all day.
You can, huh?
Oh, my God. Talk about comedy?
Talk about anything.
I talk about absolutely anything.
Who are your favorites working with?
Oh, man. Well, aside from Regan is ridiculous.
I never met him. And he, like I told you before, when MySpace came out, it always said, who'd you like to meet? And that's the only one I wrote. I wrote Brian Regan. I just want to meet Brian Regan.
Bring him in.
Oh, he's amazing, man.
The sweetest, nicest guy.
Oh, you can tell on stage what the guy is all about, man.
And he's so amazing on stage. He's got that that truffle nose, you know, like those intense pigs who just find the right truffle. He knows exactly where he's going on a bit. He just hones in. He waits. And now writing with him, because we're doing a 4-episode thing for Netflix. It's called the Brian Regan Comedy Show. And it's like stand-up to sketch.
Yeah.
And he will zone in on what he wants the sketch to be, because he wants it to be an extension of his stand-up. He doesn't want it to be a dramatization of the stand-up or any of that crap. He wants to write new stuff.
Yeah.
And so I go, all right, dude, but you know your stand-up is like the bar is at about 8 feet.
Yeah.
So we can't Fosbury flop over this thing. We got to take a running jump at this and get over the bar.
Yeah.
Because these sketches are going to have to be as funny as that. And he will come into a premise. He can really write. He can really, really write, because he'll stop and go and say these things. There's a point where I get to, because I'm a little looser. I'm a little throw the curveball, throw some stuff. Hey, if it's funny, we'll find a way to get it in a bit.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, hang on. What I like about this bit is the uncomfortableness of the two people sitting next to the other two people too closely at a restaurant. And that part, though very funny, does not quite fit the uncomfortableness of these four people having to be so close at a restaurant. And you go, damn if he ain't right.
Yeah.
And now I got to go back to the computer and write something funny.
And then Brian's like this, by the way, you just got Cesario'd.
Yeah. Exactly.
And one more question, Jeff.
So
analytical.
Why
aren't you wearing pants to the writer's room?
That's right. Well, Brian, funny thing on the way here.
Just got mugged again.
Out in L.A., there's no mugging. There's just you just get guilted into giving them to a homeless person.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
So he's great. So I love Brian. I love watching Bill Burr work. I love watching you work, because it's just so much fun to see where you've gone with this stuff. You know, where you've taken it, how you're playing the whole instrument. You know, you've got voices, you've got physicality, and yet you still write jokes. You can take them into other mediums, like that whole Tacoma thing on your website. Just the absurdity at some point, and you understood this clearly,
yeah,
of setting it up like a guy from a used car lot,
yeah,
selling Tacomas.
Yes.
But then the silly takes over.
Yeah.
And then it's pretty soon it's just you walking through frame going, Tacoma! You
know. Yeah.
And then finding a guy with like a beat up 78 Tacoma.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there it's to allow it conceptually to go in a little different way.
Yeah.
That's growth, you know.
Thank you, man.
I still love watching vets like Kathleen Madigan and Lewis Black pound it. Boy, there's so many good comics out there.
There are, man. There are, dude. When I was coming up,
Alex Edelman is a young comic I really like watching work. He's really funny. And he's like a sponge.
Yeah.
And he's like 28.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll come up to me and just go, tell me about Brad Garrett's for a second. You go, how do you fucking know about, you're 28.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? No. I saw once that you did a gig with him. And you know, it just like guys who that's the kind of guy where you go, I will sit with him and have coffee forever because he just wants to suck it up.
Yeah, man.
And use it to fuel whatever the hell he's doing, you know?
Dude, I was such
and he's hilarious.
When I first started and I moved to Vegas and there was the Riviera Comedy Club. You remember the Riviera Comedy Club? And they were kind of like,
oh, yeah,
they were the Vegas kind of like comedy store. They were the ones bringing like the newer comics, the edgier comics. You know what I mean? There was Catch a Rising Star. There was the Improv out there at Harrah's.
Right.
But for some reason, you know who was booking that? It was the guy from The Sopranos,
Steve Sciarippa. Right.
He was the booker for that. Did I ever tell you this story, Jeff?
No.
All right, so I just moved to Vegas, and I'm trying to do comedy, right? It's like 1989, right? And I kept calling Steve Sciarippa because he was the only booker that was picking up the phone. Ketch wasn't picking up. No one was picking up.
Right.
And he'd always pick up, and I would always change my name. I'm like, hey, my name is Joseph Glenn. I'm an up-and-coming comic. You know, if you have any fallouts, I like to open for anybody, man. I'll do it for free, whatever. And he's like, hey, look, kid. Like, you need to move to LA and blah, blah, blah. I did this for like almost 6 months.
Wow.
And he would always answer the phone. And then finally, that's when he was like, hey, look, kid, you need to move to LA. Work on your time and then come back as a headliner. You're not going to get any work here doing this.
Wow.
Like, he told me.
Yeah.
And he's the reason why I worked on my crap. I ended up doing shows in Vegas on my own. But if I didn't hear that from him, oh, man. But it's kind of cool that came full circle.
Yeah, there's a great Sciarippa story about somebody had to get off at midnight.
Yeah.
And he said, listen, I want you off at midnight. I don't want you off at 11:59. I don't want you off at 11:61. I want you off at midnight.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
He didn't call it 12:01.
Yeah.
He called it 11:60.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
I want you off at 11:59. I want you off at 11:61. I want you off at midnight.
That room was so much fun, though.
Yeah.
That room was so much fun. I saw so many greats. I saw all the greats there, man. And that's where I saw Robert Schimmel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Saw Schimmel play.
Boy, I still think of Schimmel at least once a week just because something reminds me of one of his bits.
Yeah. He was so much fun, right?
Oh, my God.
And the nicest guy off stage.
And the nicest guy off stage. And another guy where you go, show business is like the Kama Sutra of getting boned in the ass.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think I got a horror story, mm-hmm, you know, I had a script sold to a big-time producer-director 2 days before the strike in 2008.
Yeah.
And, you know, game changer, like big money would have set, you know. And then 7 months later, his muse took him a different direction, and he didn't buy the script. But you know, and then I always think of Schimmel going, you think that's bad?
Yeah.
I got a sitcom and then got fucking cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywhere you're telling horror stories, I guarantee you there's three guys in a room who've got worse horror stories than you. It's just amazing. And that was Schimmel's.
Yeah.
He had about three of those, actually. Yeah, he had like incredible horror stories.
Yeah, his stories were crazy.
But God, I always think of him whenever anybody brings up Vegas or they bring up who are the two magicians, the German guys. What are the names?
Siegfried and Roy. Yeah.
And the one guy got mauled by the tiger. And the tiger's name was Montecor. And Schimmel used to do a bit on on I don't think we're looking at this from the Tigers' perspective. He's just spent 8 years learning how to balance a fucking beach ball on his nose. He's the king of the jungle. He's standing over in the wings one night and just going, you know something? This shit ends tonight. That just killed me. It makes me laugh every time I think about it.
Yeah.
And Chimble's been gone, what, a decade now?
Yeah, man, it's crazy. I was
still
so
can't
happy.
Stop laughing at him.
I was so happy. I was so happy I got to meet that guy before he passed, dude. That was one of my bucket lists.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, God, I got great to meet him finally. And he was not. He was sweet the day I met him, man.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because I was with Kevin Hart at that time. We were in Montreal together, and we were walking down. We were getting something to eat, and we saw Schimmel cross the street. And you just see two up-and-coming comics go, oh, Robert. And we ran to go meet Robert Schimmel.
Oh, that's
great. And he took pictures with him, and he told us the whole story. Of course, you know, it crushed in the lobby. And
well,
then,
let's be honest. That's why you guys are where you're at, is because you had some concept of the lineage of stand-up, and you respected the form. I mean, you know, you look at Kevin even, and what I love about Kevin Hart is, from a movie standpoint, to me, He's like a new version of Bob Hope. He's like every one of his really successful characters is a guy who's kind of a loudmouth, who's more of a wiseacre, a wisecracker, and doesn't really back it up until he meets the hot dame, and until something happens, and he has to. And then he finds out he does have the balls.
Yeah.
He does have the guts to do it. That's an arc Kevin does in a lot of his movies. And you go, Jesus, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's got a whole different set of tools in his toolbox.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he kind of studied that, I think,
yeah.
and took that and made it work for him. He's the short guy, mocked the short guy. The short guy always gets the big guy in a fight. And then suddenly the short guy has to fight for himself.
Yeah.
And he does it. And he makes it work. That's brilliant. And like even his stand-up, I listen to some of his stand-up, and because, you know, he's kind of story arc now and he's a conversationalist and blah, blah, blah. And then I go back into some of his other stuff and I just go, he just wrote jokes too. I mean, like, oh God, what was the guy's name? Lawrence with Terrence. Fuck you, Terrence. Fuck you in your third ball. That joke killed me. It's talking about how a woman will just cut you right to the quick.
If
you're in public, have an argument in public. She just won't care. She won't work her way down. She just goes right to the core. Fuck you, Terrence. Fuck you in your third ball. And the guy's like, what? You don't bring that up in a restaurant?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yes.
And he does a whole, like, that nailed me. I love that.
I love it, man. I love comedy. And the main reason why I got into comedy is greats like you, Jeff. And I'm glad.
Thank you.
And you're still crushing the game.
Thank you.
I'm still crushing the game. Baby. And I can't
wait
for this.
It's so much fun.
Right?
It's ridiculous.
We have the best job in the world, man.
Yeah.
Hands down.
I come from a little auto town in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Yeah. Kenosha, Wisconsin, where they used to make American Motors cars.
Yeah, man.
I could be, you know, unemployed right now because that thing went under 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I could be putting rocker panels on boats right
now. You could
be somewhere
some asshole with a big piece of cheese on your head at a Green Bay game.
Exactly. Exactly. Picking up whatever, doing, you know, picking cabbage out in the county.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I can't wait for this show on Netflix, man, with Brian.
It's going to be fun.
Can't wait. Do you have an idea when it's going to come out or not yet?
I'm not sure. I think maybe late summer. I'm not sure.
Good.
Maybe the fall. I'm not sure. Somewhere in there. I know we're starting to shoot next week, and then we'll do the stand-up portion of it beginning of June, and then we'll slap it all together in an edit bay with Troy Miller at Dakota Films. Who
nice.
Does your stuff.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what we'll see. But he's going to rock it. He's just solid gold, that guy.
But you are solid gold, my man. Jeff Cesario, ladies and gentlemen.
At a very early age, I got Cesario.
I love you so much, Jeff.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you for doing this.
My pleasure.
I love you. Jeff Cesario on the Koi Pond, you guys. Keep doing your thing. Stay funny. Laugh at everything. It's free, you guys. Why are you uptight? Life is too funny to take seriously, you guys. Enjoy your life. I love you guys. Bye. Chase, I love you.
I love you too,
Kaylin,
bro.
I love you.
Love you, Joe.
Bye, guys.
She would tell me stories how she used to hang on Queen Street. I thought, well, that's ironic, cause she looked royal. But I paid no mind cause she was acting like she needs me. I thought I had no time so I would make her way. Yeah. Now who'd have thought that she would walk away from me?
and she would say she needs me. If I had the time with you again, I would like to be way more than friends. Girl, if you give me.